Father, we thank you for this word that we are about to receive here in these next few minutes. And Lord, I pray that you will take your word today and apply it to our hearts. Disquiet our hearts, Lord. Let us let you do the work you want to do in our own individual hearts today. Let us know that we're not that different from Gideon. And let us know that the ways that you moved in Gideon are exactly the ways that you want to move in us individually right now. So let us be willing for that, Lord, and teach us many things, I ask, this week and next from your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And even though we're not going to start immediately, there's an awful lot of notes today. I think you can see that. So you want to have those ready and have them in hand for those of you who like to follow along with the notes. I just want to start out with the setting. This is a very difficult time in the life of the nation of Israel. They are a fairly new nation, having just come in under Joshua, sometime a few generations back, and they're not real centralized. And because of their disobedience and because they have turned away from the Lord, God on different occasions has allowed them to become captive to other peoples. And Gideon is the fifth judge. So they've already been through this cycle four times before. And whenever things got really bad, then they would cry out to the Lord and the Lord would bring deliverance, usually by raising up somebody in order to do it. But things had never been this bad before, because they were not just in bondage now to a king or to one group of people, but the Midianites and other peoples from that region were coming in every year around harvest time and were completely overwhelming the land. They were completely flooding the land, where it says they looked like swarms of locusts. They were completely overpowering, to the point that all the Israelites could do would be to salvage a little bit of whatever they could and try to hide it in the rocks and in the caves. Folks, sin does not pay. Sin will lead us into bondage. Sin will allow the enemy to come in and steal from us everything that is near and dear to us. And that is why, as ministers of the gospel, we preach against sin. Not because we want to make people miserable, but because we want people to stay away from that which will harm them. Because that which makes you feel good today will lead to consequences down the road. And you will find yourself one day as the people of Israel, completely overwhelmed, completely overrun, and crying out to God for help. And the sad thing is, you will have brought it all upon yourself. And so, Israel in this situation is really just a picture of all humanity, and unfortunately, even of us in some cases who profess to be servants of the Lord, but who leave His ways and turn to other things, and we don't lose our salvation, but the Lord does discipline us. How many know He does? In fact, it says if He wouldn't be a good daddy if He didn't discipline us. And so sometimes we wind up really getting ourselves in a bind. So at this time, things had never been worse. And Gideon, this little nondescript man with the big name, Gideon means feller, not southern for fellow. Feller, F-E-L-L-E-R, as one who fells large trees, which by extension means warrior, one who cuts down the enemy. And the angel of the Lord appears to him, and he's hiding, and he's threshing grain in a wine press. You don't thresh grain in a wine press. You thresh it in a threshing floor up on the hill where the wind can catch the chaff and blow it away. But the hill is in plain sight. So in order to hide, he goes down under the trees in the hidden place and is trying to winnow a little wheat down there where it would be out of sight. And he looks up, and there's the angel of the Lord. And the angel has an assignment for him. And then we know the rest is history. But up to this point, Gideon, he had never achieved anything of any particular. He was just a guy. He was not the guy that you would go looking for. if you wanted to deliver Israel. In fact, he was the antitype of who you would want to deliver Israel. But you see, when God gets ready to do something, he wants to do it his way, and what he's looking for somebody is that doesn't have the ability, but that he can work through. Let me repeat that. He's looking for somebody who doesn't have the ability, but that he can work through. Our nation today is facing a lot of challenges, and there has never been a time when our society needs more strong, godly examples and spiritual warriors. Can I hear an amen? This is not the time. When things are at their very worst, that is not the time to give up. That is the time for God to raise up some people that'll be mighty and that He will use to turn things around. That is precisely the time when God wants to do His greatest work. So I don't know where you are today, and I don't know what you've accomplished or not accomplished in your life, but regardless of what that may be, one thing I can tell you, the Lord wants to use you to the max, and we can learn some valuable lessons from His interaction with Gideon. Now, let's do this first set, setting in sequence. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon at a low point. Are you at a low point? That may be exactly when the Lord, you will have an encounter with the Lord. Circumstances were desperate right then. First of all, in the land, in general, and secondly, for Gideon personally. So things were bad. The economy was bad, folks. Everything was really, really bad. And things were also hard personally in Gideon's life. This is when the Lord comes on the scene. Number two, Gideon was disadvantaged in the natural. And when the Lord tells him, he wants him to do this. He says, Lord, how can I do it? I have these things against me. Gideon was disadvantaged in the natural. A, by birth. He was of the smallest and weakest clan in his tribe. B, by family standing. He said, I'm the weakest in my father's household. C, by temperament. Because if you read the rest of this passage, you'll figure out how timid and how tentative he was, and he had to put out a fleece and he had to do a number of things before he could be convinced that the Lord really wanted him to do it. And by circumstance, he didn't have any weapons. He didn't have an army. He didn't have anything that you would need in order to bring deliverance to a people. Number three, the Lord appeared to Gideon when he least expected it. I guarantee you, Gideon was not thinking. He didn't get up that morning thinking, maybe I'll have an encounter with the Lord today. He just wanted to survive one more day. He wanted to see if he could get a little wheat thresh there so that his family wouldn't go hungry for the next day or two or week. That was all that was on his mind, and that is when the Lord showed up. The Lord may show up in your life when you least expect it. Number four, the Lord said Gideon was capable of delivering Israel. Why? Because of his natural abilities? No. Because of the way he intended to work through it. And that's the key. Number five, Gideon was timid, but teachable and humble. You don't have to be anybody special for God to use you. You don't have to be known. You don't have to have a lot of natural ability. But you do have to be teachable, and you do have to be humble, willing to follow directions. And these qualities Gideon had, and I believe that is why the Lord chose him. Even though starting out, we would have to say his faith was really pretty weak and quite small. Number six, Gideon's response to his encounter with the Lord was to worship. He goes and brings an offering. The angel touches it with the tip of his staff. It's consumed. After he realizes it's really the Lord he's had an encounter with, he builds an altar to the Lord. I've said it many times in this pulpit, you don't build an altar like that in 5 minutes. He had to go get the stones, he had to gather the materials, he had to get the wood ready. He did a major act of worship to the Lord who had appeared to him. And later when he goes down into the enemy camp and he hears the interpretation of a dream that someone has had confirming that God really was going to do this thing, it says, and Gideon worshiped. So he had some worship in him. How much worship do you have in you? And I'm not talking about coming here and sitting in here for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. How much do you worship the Lord during the week? Is there worship welling up in your heart during the week? When the Lord answers a prayer for you, do you take a minute and say, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer? We need to be in worship. And when God begins to work, we need to acknowledge Him and worship Him. And Gideon gives us that example. Number 7, though timid and afraid, Gideon was willing to obey, number 1. And secondly, follow directions. Well, why do you want me to do that, Lord? We never say those things, right? Oh, I don't think that'll work. And we could go on and on. He was willing to obey and follow directions. When the Lord said, do it this way, not once do we see that Gideon did it any differently than how the Lord told him to do it. He could take orders. Can you take orders? It's not hard. All you got to do is get rid of your pride. Number 8. Once Gideon had taken his first bold step of obedience, the Spirit of the Lord came on him in power and led him to action. Because it says after he built that altar to the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came on him and he went and he blew the trumpet and the men of Israel came and rallied as one man. But this is after he had worshiped. And it was after he had taken his first step of obedience. And we'll talk more about that in a couple minutes. General observations. Number 1, our background and circumstances are not the final factors in who God chooses and uses. If it was up to that, there's a lot of us that would just be left out of God's plan, you know? There really would. I'd be one of them. And there just wouldn't be a place for us. But thank God that background and circumstances are not the final factors God goes by in who He's going to choose and use. Number 2, our lowest point may actually be God's greatest opportunity to display His power. Gideon was at one of his lowest points, and the nation was at its lowest point. But this was God's opportunity to do something new and different. And here we are, all these many years later, talking about it and what God can do in the midst of a desperate situation. Do you consider your situation kind of desperate? Maybe you don't, and if you don't, I'm glad. But sometimes life gets overwhelming. I'm not talking even about just economic things. Other things in life. You know, we say, my situation is desperate. There's no way I can make a real difference for the Lord because I'm hampered by my circumstances and all that. This may be God's hour to move in your life and show His power as never before. Number 3, God's power in our lives overcomes our natural deficiencies and weaknesses. That's the first thing we've got to understand if we're going to be used of God. Yes, we may be strong in one area, but we're weak in another. No matter how strong we are in certain areas, there's always areas we're going to be weak in. But the Lord working in our lives can offset that and make up for the deficiencies and the weaknesses. The Apostle Paul said, what did he say? I can do all things how? Through Christ who what? Strengthens me. It's His power, not mine. So get your eyes off of your deficiencies and weaknesses and let God do His thing. Number four, teachability, humility, and obedience are essential characteristics in those God would use. So again, we don't have to be something special, have certain great attributes, but we do have to have teachability, humility, and obedience. And by the way, teachability is a word, even though it's not in Merriam-Webster. Number five, a specific act of obedience is often necessary in order to see greater things from God. Greater anointing follows obedience. Now let me tell you what the step of obedience was. After the Lord appeared to him, after the Lord called him, after the Lord burned up the sacrifice, after Gideon worshipped and all that, then the Lord says, okay, Gideon, there's something I need you to do, and I need you to do it right away. I need you to go and tear down that altar of Baal in your daddy's house. And those Asherah poles in your daddy's house. I need you to take some bulls and pull it down. And Gideon was afraid to do it in the daylight, so he did it at night. And we're in this in our Wednesday night Bible study. I said he was afraid and he did it at night, but he did it. And this is no small thing because everybody was into the Baal worship, you know. You're messing with people's religion. And he did it. And the next morning, a lot of the men of the town, who did this? Who did? When we catch him, we're gonna kill him. And Gideon's daddy, who had had the altar of Baal, but who knew better, and in his heart knew it wasn't the right way, this was his moment to rise to the occasion. He said, no, it's the other way around. Whoever takes up for Baal today is the one that's gonna lose his life around here. I'm done taking up for Baal. If Baal is really a god, let him take up for himself. But this act of obedience had to happen. Because you see, that idolatry was at the root of the problems. We think the root of our problems is the Midianites down in the valley with all of their tents. That's not the problem. The problem is the idol of Baal in Daddy's house. And we are in no position to go out and bring deliverance to a world when there's an idol sitting in our house. That idol has got to go. Whatever it may be. And so the Lord says, first things first, I'm going to use you to bring deliverance to these people. But the first thing you got to do is get rid of the idol. That leads us to our next point. The primary obstacle to greater blessing may be the one closest to home. I don't know if you got an idol in your house or not. But if you do, the Lord knows what it is and He knows the name of it. Whatever that might be. And I'm not talking about a physical idol that you bow down to that way. But whatever is displacing the Lord in your life is an idol. And in order for God to use us in a greater way, the idol's got to go. As long as that idol is there, no further progress spiritually will be made. Number seven. Being used of God may require a bold step of faith. I mean, that's almost goes with the territory. Because even in the natural realm, anybody that's going to do anything noteworthy has to be willing to stick their neck out, have to be willing to put themselves out there, have to be ready for the opposition, have to be ready for the criticism, have to be ready for whatever it may be. Number 8, bold steps of faith by their very nature often engender controversy and conflict. Being used of God is not for the faint of heart. You read about these great heroes that God used down through the years on the mission field and other places. But if you read their biographies, you will understand God used them in mighty ways. But they paid a great price for it. And they had to be willing to lay a lot of things aside in order to do the will of God. And they had their share of conflict. And they had their share of obstacles. And they had their share of criticism. They had their share of all these things. And yet, for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of His work, they were willing to do it. Are you willing to undergo a little controversy or conflict in order to see the Lord's will done? Number 9, an indispensable step for being used of God to bless others is to get our own house in order. Number 10, faith grows as we listen and obey. This is evident from Gideon's story. He starts out saying, Lord, how can I do it? I'm the least, I'm this, I'm that. And then the Lord said, well, do this. And then he'd do it. And then he'd say, but Lord, I want to be sure. And that's where the fleece comes from. We still call that putting out a fleece. And all of this. But after the Lord got through with him, in about 3 or 4 days after he went down to that enemy camp that last time and heard, we never see that fear anymore. You're a work in progress. And as you begin to listen, and as you begin to act on the information you have, and you begin to obey the Lord and see Him work, what's going to happen to your faith? It's going to grow. But it's only going to grow as you begin to act on the faith the Lord has already given you, and you begin to take that step. Just like Gideon, the first time, you may be trembling in your boots. He's like, I don't know if this is a good idea or not. But he did it. And then he saw how God worked. So, that's how the Lord will do it. Faith grows as we listen and obey. 11, our encounters with the Lord should always lead to worship. And number 12, when God begins to work, expect the unexpected. Because the Lord doesn't do things the way we do. I think Kevin already alluded to that verse this morning, didn't you? My ways are not your ways. The heavens are the Lord, and we're going to get more into that next week. Expect the unexpected. But boy, what an interesting ride. I saw a little email from my niece Karen down in Pensacola. She and her husband travel all over the world. He's in construction and he builds orphanages and hospitals and dorms and all kinds of things in war-torn countries. This is his 6th trip to Haiti since the earthquake. She's going with him. She says it's been, I forget, this many years since we sold everything we had and just began to just follow wherever the Lord would lead us. And she says it has not been disappointing. So, it's scary sometimes. It'll get you out of your comfort zone, definitely. But it never disappoints, because God will always honor His word. Amen. And it doesn't matter who we are. His faithfulness isn't dependent on me. Here's some things for you to look at during the week. If you want to, just you and the Lord. Is there something in your background or temperament that you see as an obstacle to being used of God? If so, what? What about your current circumstances? What about your current circumstances do you view as the principal obstacle or hindrance to being used of God in a greater way? And it's not necessarily sin we're referring to here, but what is it that you see, except for this, I could be used of God more? Number three, what is the greatest spiritual obstacle to your being used of God in a greater way? Not your circumstances, but something internal, something you're working on or need for the Lord to build into your life. Is there a specific act of obedience the Lord may desire you to take in preparation for being used by Him in a greater way? Is there something in your life right now that you know isn't pleasing to the Lord and you need to get rid of it, but you don't want to? You have to be honest when you look at things like this. Or is there just something you're afraid to do and you need, it's time to do it. It's time to step out in faith. If so, can you name it? And if yes, are you willing to take this step? And if yes, what will your first step be in honoring the Lord? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you work in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, and in any individual that will hear your voice and begin to follow your voice and follow your lead. And follow that still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit that you've placed inside of them. And begin to follow that and begin to act on it and begin to obey. And who begin to really get into your word and to listen to what you're saying, Lord. And tuning out the world with all of its stuff and listening to you. So, Lord, you will work. You will work. We may think we're weak. We may think we're poorly qualified or whatever. But as we begin to listen, as we begin to obey, as we begin to act on your word, we're going to see you begin to make warriors out of us, make spiritual warriors out of us. And you're going to take us from inactivity and from doubt and uncertainty, and even in some cases believing you're against us or something, or that you've abandoned us, as Gideon put it, to seeing you really begin to work in our lives as never before. So, Lord, let us not look at our circumstances today and deciding whether now would be a good time for you to start an important work in our lives or in our church or in our community or in our nation. But let us meet you where we are and let you start with us where we are to make us what you would have us to be. Let us be willing to listen. Let us be willing to obey like Gideon did. And then learn from you. And then just follow where the path leads. And for whatever you would do in our lives, let us be willing. That's my prayer. Speak to us by your word. Speak to us by your spirit. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and hearts that are willing and pliable and obedient. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.